Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. It is Angie Atkinson, and I'm here with the lovely and talented Lise Colucci. Lise, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Hello.
Hello, my pleasure. So today we are going to talk about what happens when the narcissist moves on and, here we go, and how you can deal with it. Plus, we're going to answer your questions and all kinds of other good stuff. So let's talk about the new supply. But first, while we are waiting for people to hop in here, we're going to just do a little housekeeping. If you haven't met Lise yet, she is one of my partners at queenbeing.com. She's an amazing coach. She does group coaching. She does one-on-one coaching. Make sure you check her out. She's right here on YouTube as well at Lise Colucci Narcissistic Abuse Recovery Support Channel. And you can also go to queenbeing.com/Lise, L-I-S-E, if you're interested in knowing more. And if our admins show up, hello, everybody, they will, our moderators, they will fill you in on the scoop. But if not, we'll fill you in on the end on how to join us every week for these streams. So let's just jump right in. Hello, everybody. Hello. Lise.
Yes.
The new supply. What happens when the narcissist moves on? Let's talk about it. First of all, let's define the new supply.
What right. Where to about? Start, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Who's the new supply? What do we mean by that?
Well, anyone that the narcissist puts their attention on after you, usually romantically. But I mean, right. It could even be if it's a parent that's the narcissist, it could be another family member. It could be a friend. It could be
or a
surrogate daughter or son.
I was just about to say.
Yeah.
My mother has several of those. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I know someone whose mother's an AA leader, and she has lots of supply coming in. Oh. And she always, and if they basically, well, let's go on.
Tell me.
Okay. No, I'm just thinking of how it's used. I'm going off on my head. Go ahead.
Yes. Okay. So the new supply is the person. It's, when we say supply, we're talking about narcissistic supply, which right. is what sort of how narcissists use us. It's the energy that we give them. It's the attention, the time, et cetera. So yes. Oh, and apparently we also need to touch on narcissistic siblings here or in our future videos.
Okay.
According to what Jack just told me. So, okay, here we go. So when there's a new person involved with the narcissist, a couple of different things are going on, right? We're dealing with someone who, number one, is in the same place you were when y'all met, right? So now they're being love bombed. A lot of times this is an overlapping relationship. We see this especially with narcissists, and I think it has to do with playing with my little fidget toy here. I think it has a lot to do with the way that, you know, because the narcissistic cycle of abuse goes like this. Oh, sorry, I gotta put this.
I like that. Was good timed.
Goes like this. Anyway, so it goes like this. It goes the idealized or the love bombing phase, right, where everything is amazing and you're perfect, blah 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 blah, right? Yeah, the narcissist seems perfect and they think you're perfect. They're holding you up on a pedestal. You can do no wrong. Of course, during that time, we're also seeing subtle manipulation that is geared toward teaching you who you are in the relationship, but we're not going to get into all that today. Love bombing. So the second phase, of course, then is the devalue phase, where they start to notice that you're human or whatever, and they start to pick you apart, blah, blah, blah. And then the discard phase, where they either actually dump you, or they just silent treat you, or they just kind of push you away for a while, right?
Right.
Well, it's usually during that discard phase, or slightly sometimes before that, but during the discard phase, where you will often see a new supply. You will often see a new supply coming into the picture. Sometimes they're just cheating the whole time. It all depends. But when you're looking at a narcissist who has moved on very quickly or moved on at all, and they are with someone new, what is this person seeing? They're seeing the love bombing. They're being told you're crazy, and they are, you know, basically the narcissist is almost smearing you to them. They probably mm-hmm. are smearing you, smear campaigning, right? Mm-hmm. Because they, you know, they figure you might think to go warn this person, mm-hmm. right? And so if you do, you need to be prepared, because the first thing they're going to do is, well, I know that this person is crazy, because that's what my narcissistic, the person they don't know is a narcissist, said. So therefore, anything you say to them probably won't be heard, at least during the love bombing phase.
Yeah, you're discredited. Yeah, you're discredited before you even have a chance, or they don't even know about you. Yes. Oftentimes people tell me when I talk to them, I didn't realize I was the new supply. They didn't tell me they were with someone else.
Oh, that's very common. Yes. Yeah,
they didn't tell me and I was the new supply. So then when they have new supply, where was I? Was I ever the main supply? Because there's always, you know, depending on how much of a cheater the narcissist is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say in the beginning with we have to, one thing to remember with new supply, whether you, people feel very hurt. They feel, when you have new supply come in, people feel not only discarded, but unvaluable, you know. Like, I can't, my words aren't coming today. They feel very unimportant.
Replaceable.
Something's wrong with them. Not good enough. They didn't try hard enough. There's a whole, you know, if you've been there, you know how it feels.
Yeah. And they think, okay, the new supply is always different in some way.
Right. And so, some people will even say, why aren't they're not even pretty or they're not even good looking. And it's like, right. It's not about that, guys. It's about it. I say it like this. A narcissist often is like, they want candy and cookies and cake and ice cream and, you know, pie. And so, but they don't want it all. They want a little of this, a little of that. And each of you is a different flavor or a different dessert, so to speak. And that's what they're feeding off of. And so it doesn't matter who the new supply is. It is not about you.
Right. And it's not even about the new supply.
And it's not about the new supply. It's not about anyone except the narcissist getting their fill of supply.
Right. There's this like unfillable hole inside these people.
Oh yeah.
And so there's no one. Look, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to go into too many details, but I have a client right now who is like freaking amazing. Like, I'm not just saying that, she's literally amazing. There's nothing wrong with this woman, and her narcissistic soon to be ex I believe what he was doing was trying to have a little something on the side and not be caught.
Yep. Okay.
And he got caught accidentally. And so she dumped him, and now he's just devastated, you know, and now he's with this new supply who's not good enough for him, according to him. It's kind of hilarious.
Well, yeah, because I think often they will have a main person, which we'll call you, whoever you are out there. Right. And they're getting everything a person needs from a real relationship from you, but they can't do their part to participate in the real relationship the way an adult should.
Right.
Well, that's another topic, but then they're looking for stuff on the side that fulfills other parts of their need for other things and their need for supply. And it has nothing to do with you. And then when they end up, like she just said, with the new supply, because that's all they got left, they're like, wait, this isn't the real deal. And usually then they have multiple. Yeah. It's sick.
Yes, sick. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I was never going to talk about this because I do not like the idea of publicizing anything regarding this person. However, wait a minute. We have a super chat before we get there from, thank you, Knight of the Black Rose. Says, hi, Angie, I'm an INFJ and I can't help going into a shame rage spiral when dealing with guilt. How do I stop myself from inverting? Well, Lise is also an INFJ. So Lise, fill me in.
How do you stop yourself from, read that last sentence?
Going into a shame rage spiral when dealing with guilt. How do I stop myself from inverting?
Ooh, it depends on what the guilt is about. Oftentimes we're taking on the responsibility of other people's issues. In other words, we're taking on the accountability because the other person won't. And so, sorry, I'm laughing at you. I'm laughing at her. You're like a puppy, Angie.
I am. I'm a problem child. Okay, move on.
So we have to separate ourselves from what is actually ours to be responsible for and what's the other person's to be responsible for. That can take some time and figuring your stuff out, figuring out why you take on other people's responsibility for them. Mm-hmm. It's acknowledging that I have guilt right now, taking some breaths, doing some meditation, finding some, I don't want to say distract yourself from it, because INFJs, we don't do that well. We'll just find another thing to spin out on. Mm-hmm. But more like get the logic behind it, that if you're an INFJ, can see the big picture. So use that strength to see the big picture and see that it's not yours. If it is yours to be guilty about, like for real, then I don't know, because I don't know the whole what she's right. actually, he or she is actually referring to. That's all I got for guilt. Kind of see that it's not yours, where it's not yours. Take some breaths, get some distance, mm-hmm. and try to see the big picture.
Yeah, I think those are really helpful points. And I would just say one more thing. I would say, in addition to all of those tips, this is not exactly related to guilt and rage per se, but excuse me, I'm about to sneeze, but it's related to when you can't, sorry. Okay. Should have muted. Related to just when you have emotions that are overwhelming to you. Something that I have found really helpful is to just to take a look at it and go, is there anything I can control here? Right. Is my camera like,
no, you didn't.
Okay. Is there anything I can control? Is there anything that I have the ability to change in the situation? If there is something, do it. If there isn't, you have to let it go. You're just going to drive yourself crazy. And that sounds so oversimplified, but when I figured that out, my whole life changed, y'all.
It's okay. True. A lot of these things are oversimplified, but the truth is they are that simple. It's really just getting yourself to change your perspective. And, yes. And so it's like applying those two things of trying to see the big picture and then what can I control?
Right.
Yeah, hopefully right. That combo helps a little.
Absolutely. Okay, the thing I was going to talk about that I'm not going to talk about, but I'm going to talk about, I was not intending, and I will not do a whole video on this, I don't think ever, but the situation with Gabby Petito has been talked about in the chat a lot. And the only reason I'm bringing it up is because I just learned from people here in the chat that apparently there's another girl involved. So that kind of fits us today with our new supplies discussion. Do I know that Brian, whatever his name is a narcissist? I don't know that dude at all, so I can't say that, but I've seen different studies and different people talking about, not studies, but different people talking and doing their little points on it. I don't want to talk about this in general, but I think there's some value in discussing that. If there is a new, oh, here. What? Okay. It says from Dave, it says a video shows Brian beating Gabby in the field while the mystery girl closes the door. I don't know what that is.
I know. I feel I'm, yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen that. And Dave says Brian is with his girlfriend he met in Wyoming. Misfit Basis says Gabby's law needs to be a thing though, so we can go after their enablers. I kind of agree with that. But we don't know the whole story. And so going after his parents, I don't know the whole story. I do know that they probably didn't have any idea he was going to do that. I don't know, but I don't know how much of an enabler. I don't know the whole story, so I can't really. Please, do you have any thoughts about this?
I feel like, unfortunately, because we don't know enough and knowing how media works, it's really, right. It's so difficult. I mean, this, to get a fair trial, which would be what's the most important thing here at this point in time, it's going to be really hard because of the media influence and because,
right.
So I don't like to even get involved in it either because I don't want to interfere with the ability to get a fair trial. I just don't want to participate in that.
Right.
And
right.
By fair trial, I mean, bring justice where justice is due, if justice is due. And like, I'm trying to stay away from it. It's triggering. It's not this one incident. And that's what's so triggering. I think we are seeing it as a highlighted and spotlighted and sort of, aggrandized by media. But this is going on all over the place all the time.
Yes.
And that's what upsets me is it's like, yeah.
Yes.
Too much.
Yes. No question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. This is a question from Kavi, and I'm not entirely, I don't know if I fully understand the question, but I'm going to read it anyway. just asking what happens when someone who is torn between poverty and success chooses to be with narcissists. And this is related apparently to something I'm not familiar with, but Eric T. Carlstrom, the global Gestapo. I have no idea. Do you know what that means?
I have no idea, but now I want gazpacho.
Oh, gazpacho.
I don't know. The what was the question though? The between poverty.
What happens when someone who is torn between poverty and success chooses to be with narcissists? I mean, it's the same thing that happens when anybody else chooses to be with narcissists,
although,
right?
Although when you choose, if you're, if what they're saying is, if you're in an, a more on the less having less, less abundance side of things, and you choose mm-hmm. someone and you're with a narcissist who has a lot, getting trapped in the financial abuse that goes on there, maybe is what they're saying. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard for me. I can't.
It is hard for people to leave when there is affluence. There is really hard when people have a nice life, right?
Yes. That's the truth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, let's see here. Now, She Wolf says gray rocking does the trick. And I assume we're talking about gray rocking from the perspective of dealing with a new supply. And if that's the case, I absolutely 100% agree. You know, the best thing you can do is to just not engage. You might, I'll tell you, I found myself kind of wanting, like, should I warn the new supply? Should I let them know what's going on? I hear that from clients all the time. Some people say they did it and it never goes well because that person is just in the love bombing phase. And so if you go to them, you go, honey, I just want you to know it's going to get really bad. It's going to get really ugly. They're going to be like, oh yeah, bitch, I know you're crazy. Pardon my language. Yeah,
I know there's nothing you can really, you've already been smeared. And, right. and that person's being groomed, and they're more, not just love bombing, but they're being groomed. They're being slowly and methodically groomed to accept the relationship that they believe, to believe the mask and the future faking and the delusion that the narcissist is setting them up to believe.
Right. That's right.
And, yeah. And they're also like, normally when you meet someone who's healthy, like say it's not like two healthy people, you have that, the idealization phase is normal in relationships. It's just that a narcissist takes it to an extreme and they're faking it.
Yes.
Right? I mean, because everybody, you have those feelings of your limbic system is engaged. Your brain is off, offline. Once your limbic system's engaged, it's all going on in the amygdala. The attraction is like literally chemical attraction, animal attraction, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And so of course people believe the new person in their life. They're not going to believe you, who is a stranger who they don't have an attraction to. You're just the crazy ex.
I mean, it serves them better to believe the new person or to believe the narcissist.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Hopefully sometimes though, if people hear it from enough exes, I mean, I've heard of that. Like they don't necessarily believe it, but later down the line they go, oh, and they catch it sooner.
So if y'all start a club, all the new exes, old exes. Okay. I'm just kidding. Don't do that.
No.
I mean, to be fair, I'm friends with at least one of my ex-husband's other three wives that came after me. So that's cool.
Right.
We're cool. Yeah. But you know, I wouldn't waste my energy trying to warn the new supply. As much as you think you're doing it for the right reasons, they won't get it until they want to get it.
Well, so. And then there's the situation where I've had someone talk to me, I mean, this happens a lot, where say you're parallel parenting with one and you happen to be at a sporting event or a school function or something, and then the narc brings a new supply.
Mm-hmm.
That they've known all of a whopping 2 weeks to some family event, right? And and then you're in the face of the new supply. So yes, in that case, gray rock with an air of politeness so you don't look crazy. Mm-hmm. And just, you do your thing and keep the focus on the kid.
Yep.
And then deal with the trigger. Because you're going to be triggered, yeah.
You will absolutely be triggered. But also something that has helped me in the past is to recognize, you know, it might be great right now, but it's going to get really bad.
They're the
and
new
so yeah. feel sorry for them a little bit. What were you going to say?
Yeah, that was agreeing with you. They're the new victim. They're the new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're mm-hmm. the new you on some level. And that's the unfortunate thing about a narcissist. As amazing as each one of you is, a narcissist doesn't, they just, there's a spot in their life and they want a person in the spot, a body in the spot.
Yep.
And, you know, and so they can and will replace you if they feel so inclined. That's the dumb, mm-hmm. stupid thing. But it doesn't mean that you're replaceable. You understand?
Yeah.
It just means that to them, they aren't taking the time to know all the amazing things that they're supposed to know as your person. Anyway. All right. We have a little clarification here from Kavi. It says, a lot of decent people decide to join narcissists so they can live comfortably. Mm-hmm. They don't really want to, but is that person still a narcissist? Okay. So this all, narcissism is a spectrum. Mm-hmm. We all have a little narcissism. The most basic definition is simple self-interest, right? But when we're talking about it, someone who's a malignant narcissist or a toxic narcissist, a pathological narcissist, we're talking about someone who does not have emotional or compassionate empathy mm-hmm. and therefore and acts from that perspective, right? So we're talking about someone who actively engages in hurting other people emotionally or otherwise, especially the people closest to them. They may or may not take pleasure in it. They may or may not realize they're doing it, depending on where they are on the spectrum. But ultimately, they actively manipulate and hurt other people. Would you agree, Lise?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Also, so, it's like it's not even important to classify them as narcissists because we can't diagnose. So just
the
word toxic or manipulative to the point of toxicity right. to others. Hurt
right. hurt so, others. Yeah. So it's not your living situation that makes you a narcissist. Mm-hmm. It's not how you live. It's not how much money you have. It's not the clothes you're wearing. The things you're, it's not whether or not you do your hair, wear makeup, none of that stuff matters. What mm-hmm. matters is how do you treat other people? If somebody, whether they're living in a trailer or a mansion, if somebody is treating other people like dog crap, people closest to them, especially, and they're not showing any sort of empathy that of a compassionate nature, they're not treating people like they want to be treated. whether, you know, are they a narcissist? Maybe, but irrelevant. They're toxic and they're unhealthy. So that would be my statement on that. Any thoughts, please?
Yeah, I agree. It's no, I think you can pretty much summed it up. Yeah, that it's not. Well, there's one more thing. If someone is living, choosing to do that and perhaps becoming acting narcissistic or acting in ways that seem selfish or whatever, they could be picking up fleas as yep. well. So they could be picking up the traits, fleas being the traits of the narcissist because they're in the living conditions, they're under the influence of their impressions that they live with daily are toxic. And yep. so they start to behave toxically toward others, perhaps.
100%. Yep. Okay. We have one from, I don't know how to say that name. It starts with a V, Vane Cato. I'm going to say Vane, that says, it seems that the narcissist found the perfect woman. He dated her when he was 14 and they started chatting a couple of months ago. He is now 40 and she is a year older. It's tormenting me. It seems perfect. Okay. That's what he wants you to think, that she
Oh my gosh. Perfect. He hoovered after that many years, 30 years later.
Ding, ding. Yeah. Number one, right? Yeah. Right. Number two, you were once probably someone else's torture. And I don't mean any disrespect. What I'm saying is when you met the narcissist, probably someone else in the world was going, God, he found the perfect woman. This is terrible. You know, it's, how can it be so perfect, right? The point is whether or not this person is not perfect any more than you're perfect or I'm perfect or at least perfect. You know, we're just, this person is just someone who is currently the new supply. Mm-hmm. You know, she's being love bombed and it's very easy to be perfect when you're not living in a house with someone, right?
Oh yeah, especially at a distance.
Yes. Yes. So I don't know the whole story here, but I can tell you that it will not be perfect. There's nothing, I promise you, this person, unless they are somehow the perfect inverted narcissist, I mean, it's highly, it's not going to work. It's, I mean, they might stay together, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be perfect for her.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Thoughts, Lise, that you want
to. Yeah, we have to remember that we only see the outside. We don't see the truth. We don't see the other person's reality. We only see what the narcissist paints and the mask they want the world to see. Remember how that they will this, like, think about covert narcissists or the very altruistic narcissist, the communal narcissist, where they go out there and the rest of the world thinks they're amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Every relationship they have seems amazing with other people, but their main person in their life, they are treating terribly and cheating on and manipulating and all of this stuff. Well, nobody sees that. So just in the same way, you can't really see what's happening between the person you think is the perfect match. You just can't. Yeah. And if they're writing and they're at a distance, of course that's why it's perfect, because then the narcissists are by nature avoidant attached people, and they need that separation in order to behave in an attached way.
Yep. Absolutely. Okay. Misfit says, you know, she was being abused by his family. They will play dumb to protect their image. Narc 101. Now this is what we're talking back about, the Gabby situation. And I'm sure that, I don't know that to be true. I'm sure it's possible given what I know about narcissists, but not every, I don't know that. But if that's the case, then I'm certain they'll play dumb. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting on that whole thing. The reason I'm staying out of it for the most part is I've heard people who know nothing about narcissism talk about this, mm-hmm. and they're confused.
Yeah.
Like, they're not seeing it. So we're seeing what we see from the inside, from mm-hmm. knowing. And we're making assumptions on that at the same time we don't know the whole story. And I'm not defending anyone here. I'm just saying it's too much for my emotional state to be in, you know, and to invest in it too much.
Right.
And I'm just hoping that they can, I'm hoping it can go the route that it should go, and that whatever justice needs to be served can be served to everyone involved who needs to, you know.
Yeah.
Knowing the court system, knowing the way we treat mental health. I mean, if here's the thing, here's what the only last thing I want to say about this. If our system were set up where mental health workers came out to domestic calls immediately mm-hmm. alongside the police,
right?
We would have a different outcome.
Yeah.
We don't have it in this country. We don't have the support we need for this kind of thing. So,
right. I agree.
I feel like everybody's at fault in that case. Not everybody, but anyone involved is involved.
Right, right. Misfit Bassist adds, they will throw their own son under the bus to protect their image. Oh, I'm sure.
Probably your Kate, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, okay. Now, wait a minute. Kavi's back, and Kavi says, I think what Kavi, what you're talking about here is somebody who is like an enabler. Kavi says, like a reluctant narcissist or just a follower who is too scared to detach from the crowd. That's what they're mm-hmm. asking about. My feeling is you're talking about an enabler in this case. Mm-hmm. So somebody who maybe is like the narcissist's right-hand person, or, you know, like I'm going to use the movie Mean Girls, for example. Mm-hmm. So you have Regina George, who's the main mean girl. Let's call her the main narcissist. And then you've got her little people that kind of come along with her, right? Her little, what are they? I don't remember the names.
They're like henchmen or minions or like, yeah, right. Little, yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. And they'll be mean if she's mean and so on and so forth. So do they exist? Yeah, of course. I think those are called flying monkeys mm-hmm. and enablers. Would you add anything to that?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it sounds like. Enablers, mm-hmm. and we have to remember that people often will say, you know, especially if it's like, say, a mother and a father. Mm-hmm. Let's say mother's the narcissist and father yeah. Father is nice, and they go, wait, I don't get it. But he enables the narcissist because he won't stand up for himself. He won't stand up for you. He won't do anything.
Right.
He goes along with it.
Right.
And this happens yeah. a lot, especially when people are married a long time. They have learned to keep the peace. A lot of times these people who enable have learned to keep the peace for themselves. It's self-protection. And they don't realize they're hurting other people in the process.
Yeah.
Or they feel helpless and they don't know how. The only way to not hurt other people is to tell the narcissist off. And that's mm-hmm. not going to happen. So, right. Yeah.
Right. And then the other thing is, wait a minute. Lost it. Never mind. Okay. A question I think was originally, are they still a narcissist? So, I mean, are they a narcissist? Maybe not. But if they treat people with a lack of compassion and empathy, and they're willing to hurt other people on behalf of the narcissist, and they know what they're doing. Like, they're not just like, in some cases you have the unwitting flying monkey, which mm-hmm. is someone who the narcissist manipulates to think that, oh, I'm really worried about Angie. Go check on her. She's not okay. She's kind of crazy, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So in that case, you know, then that person is just genuinely trying to care. But then you have these people who are like, hey, let's screw Angie over, and that person agrees. Well, that person might be a little toxic.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it just depends. Oh, we have a super chat here from Haka. Hello, Haka. I hope I said your name right. First time catching you live. Thank you for the information you give. Thank you. We appreciate you so much. I appreciate the super chat. Thank you. Okay. Let's see. We have... Anyway, I'm just trying to make sure. Oh, okay. We got the Knight of the Black Rose. I'm sorry. The grass isn't greener on the other side, says Missy B. Oh, that's the truth. Mm-hmm. Oh, Haka wants to know what's an INFJ. Lise, take it away.
INFJ is a Myers-Briggs personality type. You can look it up easier than I can explain it because it's
like intuitive.
Intuitive. Oh my gosh.
Wait, introverted, intuitive, feeling, and judging, right? Yeah,
right. That doesn't mean judgmental, although we can be.
Right.
and yeah, it's a type that is, I mean, if you look it up, what people who are that way were very big picture seers, very, very highly intuitive, kind of know what's going on before it's going on, you know, or as it's, we can see the whole thing playing out. It's So go on, 16personalities.com if you're interested in that kind of thing to find out what you are.
Yeah, it's a free test.
Fascinating. You get to learn about yourself. And
I like it too. Yeah, really cool.
And we all, it's a whole nother topic, but we all respond to narcissistic abuse or to toxic treatment differently based on our personality types. And we all have struggles with healing based on our personality types is what I've found with coaching.
Right.
So when I talk to people and I know what they are, so to speak, their personality type, it's helpful because then I can speak to them from where they're coming from.
Yep. Yep. Cool.
And if you know that about yourself, you can understand. Like,
we've got a lot of people
have a hard time letting go until we understand it 100%, like all the way through. And we also have a hard time feeling our feelings because the judging takes us into logic. And so we detach a lot. And so we have to get into our feelings more.
Boom.
Yeah. ENFJs too, which is you, right?
I'm ENFP, but pretty close. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm barely E. I'm like just right there. You know, yeah. I'm like.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So we have a lot of people popping in with their Myers-Briggs. That's cool. Okay. So we have Mad Mock. Cool name. Who says, when the narcissist moves on, be thankful, be single for a while and get okay with being alone. So important. And I promise you, your life will improve like you'd never believe. Never ignore red flags. Absolutely agreed. Yes. Okay. We have, looks like Jack's already been in there talking about that. That's great. Good stuff. Thank you, Misfit. Appreciate you. Kavi says, I've known quite a few people who seem to be distraught while joining the flying monkeys of narcissists. Okay, better, right? Enablers. Okay, so here's the thing about that. Yes, there are those who unwillingly or unwittingly become flying monkeys, and then those who willingly do it. It's a lot of times what it comes down to is, for them, the lesser of two evils. Like, well, if I'm mean to this person, or if I do what the narcissist wants me to do with or to that person, then the narcissist won't be mad at me. We'll have a common enemy. We'll get along. That sucks, but that's really what it looks like.
It is
a lot of the time.
Yeah. My favorite, favorite Frank Zappa quote is the lesser of two evils is still evil.
Yep. Yep. That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
Chastina says, trust me, you can drive yourself crazy. Don't do it. Let him keep the crazy. Chastina, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
She was back. Yeah, it's been. Yes. Okay, let's see here. Haka says, I watched Angie's earlier videos when I was dealing with a narcissist in my life, just never saw her live. Right on. Thank you. Lita French says, I have a question. What does it mean, when a narcissist doesn't talk about their ex at all? Well, it could mean a number of things.
Oh, heck yeah. I'm like, mine's spinning.
No, I know. Like, I mean, it could mean that they really hurt the ex and you could look it up online. You know, there's some police records or something. It could mean any number of things.
I think it means they know exactly what they did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm thinking of mine. I don't think he talked about me. I don't know, but I know he didn't talk about his other exes.
And it always surprises me because usually I've seen them Now, to be fair, that's actually okay.
More psychopathic, more on the higher on the spectrum, because they know what they're doing. And so they're trying to hide it and they're trying to change the behaviors.
Yeah.
Just enough with the new person to not get caught.
Yep. I think that's valid.
It's like avoidance. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Woo. It's about to do it. I knew it. Okay. We just,
whatever it means, it's nothing good.
No, it's not good news. Yeah. It's not good news. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, either way, and it could also mean that they watched a video where somebody said what a narcissist was.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, well, I better not talk about my ex.
That is exactly. Oh my gosh. Yes. I could picture him doing that too.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give silent treatment. Like I told him silent treatment hurts people. It's actually the same as physical abuse in the brain. So technically you are actually being extremely, you know, painful when you do this to my brain. And so after that, it was never silent treatment. Instead, it was monologuing.
Yeah.
I'll monologue for an hour at you instead of being silent, because then I'm not doing bad. Yeah.
I call that a narcissistic filibuster.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Endless.
Because, it's awful.
Yeah.
Kavi says, why do people, okay, this is back on the flying monkey situation or the henchman situation. Still, why do we have these people who literally join in on psychological warfare, even if they don't participate much? They still pick a side and either lightheartedly agree or make sure not to.
Oh, drama.
I mean, that's humanity, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
I mean,
that's the dark side of humanity, right?
Right. I mean, that's people, a lot of times people pick up, you know, they feel forced to pick a side in some situations. Narcissists push us to do that. And as Jack Lumen notes here, he says, for me, enabling is built on intergenerational abuse and generations of conditioning. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to break out of this wicked family tradition. And I think that's a powerful statement. I think that's true for a lot of us. We can look back in the generations and whatever reason, there's some toxicity in the family. You know, there was physical abuse for many generations, or there was, you know, mental, psychological abuse, you know, it goes on and on. Poverty sometimes affects people in ways that, you know, but so does wealth, unfortunately, in different ways. There's just really no.
Yeah. Culturally, it is not frowned upon. We love our gossip. We love our, you know, by we.
I mean, we don't, but I don't humans
like
do.
It, but yeah, just.
Right. I mean, I like a little bit of gossip, but
once in a while, not
only the one that doesn't hurt people.
Exactly.
You know, funny stuff. You know, let's see here. Misfit says accountability and criminal prosecution for narcissistic acts is the imperative. Listen, I 100% agree with you. There should be some accountability for people who act insane that way and who, you know, hurt people, especially physically and emotionally and psychologically and everything.
Yeah.
But the problem with this is, I don't even want to say it, but I'm gonna have to say it because I have to be logical. The problem with this is, how many narcissists do you know that accuse their freaking victims of being abusers?
So many.
So many. And they're very convincing.
Especially,
right?
Especially when the female's the narcissist. I'm sorry. I've been in trouble. I've been yelled at. I've been screamed at for saying that. But
it's
real.
Yeah. And even when the male's the narcissist, I mean,
it happens both ways, but I see it. You see it a lot in that case, you know, where they know they can play victim.
Yeah. I have a client right now who had this, his wife is a little tiny, adorable lady who talks a little really sweet little voice and, you know, and he's the bad guy, according to everybody they know, because of that little tiny sweet voice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Then again, I mean, I think it just all, the problem is that it's all hearsay unless you have physical pictures of stuff. And even if, you know, well, we'll record the rants. Well, you could record reactive abuse and take out your part and boom, you've got somebody who sounds abusive, but they're really just reacting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is the problem with making this a law, because how many people would be unfairly, you know, prosecuted?
Well, and again, our psychological field doesn't get this.
Right.
That's the problem too. I mean, how are you going to have somebody evaluate when they don't understand the nuances of it? You can't. It's
right. Right. Yeah. And it's, there are so many factors. And so like, I absolutely, I wish there was a way. Mm-hmm. And there should be a way, but the problem is, again, humans screw stuff up. If they're, you know what I mean? And it's just,
that's why education is really the way right now.
Yes.
Education, understanding for yourself, getting people to the right information and the right resources to help them understand.
Yes.
So they can stay away from it before something terrible happens.
Right. Right. Let's see here. All right. I'm trying to see here. Oh, Jack says his father told him his script was, I'm the peacemaker. I was taught over and over to see the other person's, including the narcissist's point of view, to silence my own concerns.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So you, I wonder if you were the middle child by chance.
another INFJ thing, another INFJ trait, because we can see the perspective of other people getting stuck in the peacekeeper role.
Yep. I always say I'm very diplomatic, and I'm not the middle child, I'm the oldest, but yeah. Okay. And I guess that's really what it is, because I do, that's interesting. It's a gift to be diplomatic, but it's also sometimes a sign of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Well, our trauma gives us these amazing strengths that come from it. We would not be who we are without it.
That's true.
In both the good ways and the bad ways, right?
Absolutely.
I don't want to say bad ways, but you know what I mean? The ways we struggle with plus our strengths.
I mean, they're not good sometimes.
They're not. No.
I was just, and maybe we should talk about this in our next session, Lise, but I was just noticing recently I have trauma around people coming to my house.
Oh yeah, me too.
Do you?
Hate it.
Does anybody else let us know in the chat?
I like want to love it and I can't. That's
no, you know. I mean, like, I've had
stay outside many... the backyard. That's great.
Right. Like I think it's mm-hmm. I think it might have to do with my mother walking around with a white glove when I didn't clean well enough growing up. I'm not sure. But
the vacuum cleaner lines that needed to stay there.
I can't.
I don't know. It's feeling judged. It's the feeling.
Judged, yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. It scares the holy crap out of me.
And me too.
Especially if it's somebody like in an official capacity or something.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Or even just a person who comes to do the plumbing or whatever.
Anybody.
I'm just like.
Yeah, I get it.
It really bothers me.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Anyway, I'm going to look into that a little bit. But I know exactly what it's related to. I know why I'm doing it. But logically, I get it. But my brain's like, still though. I don't know.
I don't know if we're going to like this ever.
Right. Now, it's one thing to have a party with people who you know and you trust and everything else, but it's a whole other thing to bring. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay, moving on. But I think part of that has to do with, I'm just going to say this one more thing. I think part of it has to do with never, ever feeling comfortable with my parents growing up. I never, ever felt relaxed or like at home. And anytime they came to my home as an adult, never once felt comfortable. Isn't that weird? I think that's mm-hmm. weird, but that's what it was.
I don't know if it's weird. I feel the same thing, but I mean, maybe.
It's not, it feels not normal to me because I look at other people who seem to not have that problem. People who didn't have narcissistic parents seem to not have that problem because they don't care. You know, their mother doesn't judge them. Like I will never judge my kids. Now I have gone in their rooms before and been like, you need to do something with this. And then if one of them I have to help with, the other one does it himself. He's a Virgo. Anyway, but outside of that, I don't, you know, I'm like, I understand how it got this way. Let's try to resolve it. You know what I mean? If it's like really bad. Okay. So if anybody wants us to talk about that sometime soon, let us know. Misfit Basis says, can Operation Evil be stopped by the system? Who knows, but we should try. Yeah. Again,
There are a lot of pieces that are misaligned for the system to be ready for that right now. I wish it wasn't the case, but I can't see how. I mean, should be someone trained in. You cannot have a domestic violence call received by police on their own. They aren't trained for it. It's not their job.
Right.
In the mental health sense, it's their job to make sure the laws aren't being broken. And so they're having to think black and white in a situation that is gray.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, all they can do is hear and see and make their best judgment. And that's not to excuse anyone. And I think that what was said on those tapes is awful. And I'm not even going to go into that, but just in general, you know, and so we need people out there who are trained in, they need to have someone with them to have to speak to these people. Yeah. It's a whole thing. Like, what do you do? I don't know. I can't solve the world.
Right. It would require so much, like, because again, even somebody who is trained in it.
Right. How do you know?
A really smart, like a sociopath or a psychopath, they can blow you out of the water and make the other person look like the abuser by dog whistling. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I mean, there are so many, so many issues there. Yeah. Okay, let's see. Daniel, let's see what time, are we doing on time? Okay. We're going to take a couple more questions, if that's okay with you. Do you have time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Daniel says, I had to file a harassment complaint on her. My next step is a restraining order. When my life and career was and is jeopardized by a narcissist, take it from me. I'm going through it now. Yeah. And that's the fact right there. You know, I assume based on your photo and name that you are a male. And here's an example right now of what we were just, you mentioned earlier about
it's happens. Yeah.
Yeah. With it being the female.
Well, I mean, I had one person tell me that they, again, same similar story, very cute, small, petite woman,
mm-hmm.
bigger, strong guy. He said, he's so thankful his children witnessed this, even though he wishes his children didn't have to witness this, but he needed the witness.
Yeah.
And she came in the room screaming and yelling at him. And when he turned away, he said he curled in a ball and turned away because he knew her fists were coming. She started punching the mirror until the mirror broke. And then she screamed, look what you did to me.
Oh my God.
And he said, he goes, telling you this story, I realize you don't have to believe me, but my kids saw it. And they said, Mom, what are you talking about?
Mm.
You know, like, it's just, that makes
it, I have goosebumps.
I know, right? And it's look what you did to me. How could you do this to me? She knew the exact way. It was premeditated, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's not to say that sometimes it isn't, it's so confusing, right? And that's why we can't know. And it's unless we have a lot of investigation.
Right. Right. Yeah. My mother used to say, look what you made me do. I was a little triggered by that moment.
Oh my goodness. There. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's okay. It's
oh, yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. And that was usually when my face was bleeding.
Uh-huh.
Because so, I made her do that. You know?
Of course you did. Yeah.
You know how I was a bad kid.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So Daniel, I'm glad that you did file the harassment complaint, mm-hmm. and I hope that you do file the restraining order if you need to, because sometimes that's the only thing we can do. Take care of yourself.
At the very least, it has a proactive effect of looking like you are trying to keep her at a distance.
Yes. Yes. Nina says, I would never get a child. I'm too messed up because of my parents. I actually have several clients over the years who have said and felt the same way, and I don't blame them. If I had been... I mean, I don't think I'm too messed up, but I think if I had known, you know, when I was younger, what I know today, I probably would have waited a minute, a little mm-hmm. bit longer, you know, but what are you going to do? Mr. Sushi says, I just found out that my grandpa told my grandma that my mom and her sister didn't need his financial help and passed down all his inheritance to me and my cousin. Me and my aunt could really use that. Okay. I don't know the whole story of that. Do you have anything to say about that?
I don't understand.
Yeah. We need more information. I'm so sorry about that. Mr. Sushi. Oh, isn't that some golden child stuff is what he adds. I just found out my grandpa told my grandma that my mom and her sister didn't need. Okay. So I think what you're saying is he's skipping over your mom and your sister and her sister and he's passing the inheritance to their children instead.
They do that a lot where they just pick and choose and deliberately cut people out. Mm-hmm. I've heard one person tell me that they, father left everything to one sibling and not the other, the other being her, and instead he left her $1.
Yeah.
As a middle finger, basically.
Right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right. Kavi Jackson says, I never knew so many people would coordinate on such levels to live at others' expenses. I feel like, Kavi, you're trying to tell us something and we're like, you're talking around the topic a little bit, because I'm not sure who these people are. Are you talking about like an MLM? Are you talking about family? What are we talking about? If you can fill us in a little more on specifics of what you're talking about, mm-hmm. we can maybe give you better advice than we've given mm-hmm. so far. Do you have anything to, anything?
No, I agree. It's hard to, it sounds yeah. like we're not hitting the nail on the head quite right. And, but we're not getting enough information to like know where the nail is. So we're trying to, speak right. in general about something specific, maybe.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me too.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Daniel says, that's why I don't take it personally. I know her next person will be a victim. Talking about the one he put or might have to put the restraining order in. Mm-hmm. Yes. Let's see. Kavi says, I found a lot of people hide behind labels and associations, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what this is. Okay. Nina says, I wish school would have taught me a little bit about mental health and people. You know, now that makes a lot of sense to me.
There we go. Mm-hmm.
I think that would be a better solution or a more proactive solution, you know, to make it a requirement to learn about these things, because maybe, who knows, you know, if they start teaching it early enough, I mean, maybe it could even eliminate certain narcissists, because there's a point at which I think they tip and they can't change. But I think when they're children, there's still that little light inside of them that doesn't die right away in many cases. I don't know. Thoughts, please?
Well, I don't know. You're just reminding me of a fifth grade teacher I know who said that. I said, how's the class? This is years ago. How's the year going? She says, well, I've got a room full of budding narcissists.
Oh.
And I said, are you just tired? You know, and she says, no, I've never seen it this bad. And she's like, I'm doing my best. I'm doing my best to help like bring the empathy into the classroom, doing what I can. So, you know, like, I think, yeah. So maybe I'm thinking of the age might have to be really young.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Well, parents should start
third grade.
Yeah. Parents should start teaching children empathy as soon as.
Absolutely.
You,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Children often are selfish creatures who are, I mean, of course, they're about survival.
Until they're 2 years old, they're supposed to be narcissistic.
They're supposed to be. And then even between 2 and 6, there's a lot of, you know, they're just learning what's safe, what's not safe to survive. You know, they're not all survivors, but you know, it is
right.
survival. It is like.
Most kids will start to demonstrate yeah. some empathy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But it's still a time to teach them, right?
Teach them. Even teach the ones who know, because you have to teach empathic children not to spill their empathy all over the place.
Yes.
Speaking
yes.
from the, yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. All right, let's see. Carolina says, why do toxic women use this word as a weapon to remain toxic?
Which word?
I don't know. I think she might mean narcissism. Narcissist. And I believe that on every single level, I've seen men do it. I've seen women do it. I don't know that all of them are, I don't believe that all the people that use the word are toxic. I do think overuse of the word.
Well, if you overuse a word, you diminish its value.
Yes.
So yes. you can take the thing you think you are and make everybody that thing. And therefore you're not actually anything that's any different from anybody else.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think a lot of women tend to be very cunning with psychology, tend to be very cunning with,
mm-hmm.
paying attention to psychology, having an interest in, I mean, I know one in my head right now who loves to like throw words like psychopath and gaslighting, and she knows all the terminology.
And
she uses the term gaslighting while she's gaslighting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I think that sounds like a super fun lady.
Oh, she's fun. Yes. Yeah.
Woo. Okay. Yes, valid. Okay, let's talk about this one. It's wait. Okay. Mr. Sushi says, I feel like everyone is narcissistic to a degree, but some people are so down the hole that they can't find a way out. If you don't take time to check yourself, you will be a bad person. All right. Healthy. So,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think up to a point. I mean, anyone who has the wherewithal to even consider the idea that they might be a bad person and feel bad about it probably isn't really a narcissist of the toxic nature. I agree. Everybody has a little bit of narcissism. Everybody is self-focused here and there. Mm-hmm. I tend to see that people who have been abused by narcissists sometimes are painfully the opposite of self-focused. They're mm-hmm. so externally focused that there's nothing left for themselves. And I spent a long time being that person, and it sucks. How about you?
Yeah. And I also think that, yes, narcissism is on a spectrum. NPD, when we're talking about that, is something separate.
Separate.
We all have areas of our life where we have, well, most of us have areas of our life where we have higher levels of ego involved. Even self-effacing, like you just described, even denying yourself is mm-hmm. a form of egoism, because you're yep. saying, I'm so unimportant. Does that mm-hmm. make sense? That you're like, it's
yeah,
we martyr. Have ego. That's part of our psychology. Of NPD course. Is somebody that does not have empathy and does not have the ability to take accountability because they don't have empathy. So,
but they do have cognitive empathy.
They have cognitive empathy, meaning they can fake it.
Yes, they
or
understand
they
enough.
Can relate, yeah. like X as a, you know, a hospital worker could relate to certain patients if it was something that he feared getting himself. And other, I'd be like, well, what about the patient in the other room? Oh, well, they were, you know, like it was, that family was irritating or whatever, you know, like that. It was, yeah, it was yeah. not, it's only if it really self, I called it self-referring empathy.
Yes.
Which is not really empathy.
No, it's just, you know, it's about, they could look at you and logically think to themselves, well, you know, they must be feeling X, Y, and Z right now. So therefore I will do X, you know, whatever. Yeah. Okay. This is a good question. And I think we're getting really close now. So we're going to maybe get this one and then we'll wrap up if that's all right with you. That's just Viv asks, her name is That's Just Viv, cute name.
That's cute.
What if the narcissist goes to prison for 15 years? Will he change or become a better person? Mm. Woo!
Yes, become a better person, no.
Will he change? Yeah, he'll change. Oh, but yeah. He'll change in ways that you might not want. Mm-hmm. He'll learn more con tricks and artist things. And
oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He'll write really great letters while he's there. maybe draw some nice pictures. I've heard some things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But no, he'll still be the same person or worse, in mm-hmm. my opinion. Thoughts, Lise?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're all under the influence of our impressions and our environment. And so mm-hmm. imagine being in that environment, concentrated with other people who are, for the most part, not everyone in prison is a bad person, but for the most part, there's a lot of people who are, and you're mm-hmm. around, you know, yeah. and you're in the confinement, the shame, the guilt, like all of it.
But the environment itself is.
Oh yeah. It's dark.
Toxic. If you watch those prison shows, is anybody.
It's true. You're not there for a vacation. Let's put it that way. So yeah.
There's a whole other culture there.
Yeah. Too. Oh yeah. So they're going to change in the sense that they'll learn to adapt and manipulate based on what they pick up and learn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably play the victim more. Or say I've atoned for my crimes. I've done my time.
Yes.
Just like when they find religion.
Yes.
Yep.
As Jack said to Viv, prison will just teach him to be a better narcissist. That's probably true. Probably. Okay. One more. I'm lying. I'm sorry. This is the last one, I promise. Okay. From Lita. And she says, my ex-narcissist is losing interest in the new supply. Mm-hmm. She's going crazy as he keeps trying to Hoover me. I haven't spoken to him in 4 years. Here's another example, y'all, of the long Hoover. Yep. Into your videos helped me through the worst time of my life. Thank you so much for that. And let me just thank you for not speaking to him for 4 years. Good for you. Stay strong. You obviously know what he is. And I hope that for your sake, you are able to resist, and for her sake, that she is able to get away.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
Oh yeah. This is, they keep you on the back burner for when they get tired of the new supply. And then they cycle you back in because they just keep recycling people until that person steps off the recycle chain or whatever you want to call it.
Merry-go-round.
Merry-go-round. And then, but then they've got other people that they can pull in because they've been doing this a long time, unless they're 20 years old.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Right. Even then they got mothers and sisters and brothers. And others. Someone.
Yeah. Because they can't, they have, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So many things. Chalice, I'm sorry if I said your name wrong. Khalees says to be with a narcissist when he's draining you from the inside is fatal. That is deep and real. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really great place for us to stop for today. Everybody, we will be back here next week. Same-ish time, same channel. Lise, again, if you don't know her, now you do. If you've been here for the hour, you've gotten to know her a little bit. Get to know her better. Go over to her channel, Lise Colucci, Narcissistic Abuse Recovery Coaching. Sign up over there. Hit the subscribe button and the bell notification. Same here. If you want to be notified by YouTube when we go live, although YouTube is sometimes a little slow. So we also send out text messages, which Helpful Mom is putting in the chat for me, probably close to now, I'm guessing. But in order to get connected to those, you can send a text that says Angie Live, all one word, to 33222. And another text that says Lise Live, all one word, LISELIVE. To 33222. And we will text you when we go live separately or together. And you'll be able to connect with us that way. Now, Lisa, you are going to go live another day this week? Or
yeah, I was just thinking about it as you were talking, probably Thursday or Friday this week. I have my schedule's a little wonky.
Perfect.
But
okay. So watch for Lisa's notifications and make sure you sign up for those if you like. Everybody, we hope to see you again next week. Thank you so much. And if you have questions, comments, concerns, things you want us to pick up next week's video, let us know here in the chat or in the comment section below, and we will we'll try to make sure that we do that. Thank you everybody. We will. Oh, and thank you to our mod squad who's here. I think we had, of course, Jack and Huffle Mom, who are gratefully, we are grateful you're here weekly. And we also had, who else did we have today? I thought I saw somebody. Well, Shastina, hello. Okay, all right, so we will see you guys next week. Thanks, Lise.
You're welcome. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Here I go. I'm ending it.